Blog Talk Radio.
Where are you now when darkness seems to win? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm so blessed to welcome you to the Common Files with your host, Brother Rick Altman, and yours truly for this Friday, June 9th, 2023. Now, tonight, once again, we will be continuing our transformational journey through the study through our study of the Ten Commandments, still the best moral code, written by Mr. Dennis Prager. And we are going to where he explains in a commonsensical form the Ten Commandments, and that will be followed by the Bible, where he got his writing from, which is the straight from the Bible. Hallelujah. So you're going to get the common sense side, and then you're going to get the biblical application. Amen. But before we begin, we are going to have a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, just thanking you for this opportunity to come out and teach your word, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that the saved and the unsaved, Lord God, would be edified, will be built up, Lord. We pray that those that know you, Lord God, will come to know you in a greater way. And for those that don't know you in the pardon of their sin, Lord, we pray that perhaps tonight will be the beginning of their relationship with you. We pray in the name of Jesus that you just bless myself and my brother Rick, Lord, as we bring the lesson on tonight. And we just pray, Lord God, that you will be glorified in all that we say and we do. It is in Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen and amen. Now, as I've said, we have been studying a book written by Mr. Dennis Prager entitled The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code. And at this time, we are going to call, hallelujah, our commandant of common sense forward, and we are going to have Brother Rick Altman bring you up to speed. He's going to tell you why we think this book is so important, and he's also going to kind of give you a little a synopsis of what we've covered so far, and then we will be going into our commandment for tonight, which is honor thy mother and thy father. And if time permits, we will go on to thou shalt not kill. But right now, I'm going to ask that my dear brother, Brother Rick Altman, come forward, and he is going to bless us in his own very special way. Brother Rick?
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much, and thanks for having me back again. I will do a quick review for new listeners. Because, you know, we have to understand that as we live in societies, we need rules, and we need to abide by these rules if we're going to live close to one another and in harmony and in safety. And I usually use, when I'm describing this to younger people, I usually use a driving analogy, but I think tonight I want to change it. Let's use a sports analogy. Let's try to imagine what football would be like if there were no rules and you didn't follow the rules. Roughing the passer, pass interference, offsides. I mean, what kind of chaos would that be? And it would be, you know, seriously dangerous for everybody that was playing. Baseball's the same. Basketball. How about basketball? You don't have to dribble the ball. You can just grab it and run with it, okay? And you know what? You can tackle the guy with the ball, too. It sounds a lot like rugby, right? Does rugby even have rules? I'm not even sure. But in any case, by using the sports analogy and the rules that we have agreed to, if we're going to play the game, if we can agree to the best moral code, as Dennis Prager so aptly puts it, the Ten Commandments, and if we can agree to live by those rules, then everybody will live safer, happier. I mean, it'll just be much better for everyone around us. And I know that sounds like, oh, boy, that's, you know, really kind of basic. But I think, you know, that's really what it is. Life has its own rules. The Ten Commandments, which Prager subtitles the best moral code, gives us a direction on how to live our lives to our own best benefit, to the benefit around us. And those people around us is what we call civilization. And civilization depends on us behaving according to a certain code. So I think the Ten Commandments is a great way. It is the basis for law in Western civilization, and I think that it is what is going to continue to perpetuate our civilization if we get more people to abide by the Ten Commandments. And remember, parents, when you're considering your children, young people want to learn. They want to know how to act because they want to be accepted. And as you're instilling the code into these younger people, you can assure them that they'll be accepted if they live by this code. And everybody has to have a code. So we'll start with honor your father and mother. And as Dennis says, even if you don't feel like it. Ten Commandments reads, honor your father and mother. This commandment is so important that it is one of the only commandments in the entire Bible that gives a reason for it, that your days may be long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. Many people read that part of the fifth commandment as a reward, but while it may be regarded as a reward, the fact is that if you build a society in which children honor their parents, your society will long survive. And the corollary to that is A society in which children do not honor their parents is doomed to self-instruction. So in our time, in modern times, this connection between honoring parents and maintaining civilization isn't recognized, but on the contrary, many of the best educated parents do not believe that their parents need to show them honor, since honoring implies an authority figure, and it is a status many parents reject. In addition, many parents seek to be loved, not honored by their children, yet neither the Ten Commandments nor the Bible commands us to love our parents. This is particularly striking given that the Bible commands us to love our neighbor and to love God and to love the stranger. The Bible understands there will always be individuals who, for whatever reason, do not love a parent. Therefore, it does not demand that it be psychologically or emotionally possible, but it does demand that we show honor to our parents, and it makes this demand only with regard to the parents. There was no one else to whom the Bible commands us to honor. So, why is honoring parents so important? Why does the Ten Commandments believe that society couldn't survive if this commandment were widely violated? Well, one of the reasons is children need it. Parents may want to be honored, and they should be, but children need to honor their parents. Think of it from the child's point of view. A father and a mother who are not honored are essentially adult peers of their children. They're not parents. No generation knows better than ours the terrible consequences of growing up without a father. Fatherless boys are more likely to grow up and commit violent crime, mistreat women, act out against society in every way. Girls who don't have a father to honor and hopefully to love are more likely to seek wrong men and be promiscuous at a young age. Second, honoring parents is how nearly all of us come to recognize that there is a moral authority above us to whom we are morally accountable. And without this, mm-hmm. we can't create or maintain a moral society. Remember, moral society, safe society, happy society. Of course, the Ten Commandments, the ultimate moral authority is God, who is therefore higher than even our parents. But it's very difficult to come to honor God without having a parent, especially a father to honor. Now, Sigmund Freud, the father of modern psychiatry and an atheist, theorized that one's attitude towards one's father largely shaped one's attitude toward God. And there's one more reason why honoring parents is fundamental to a good society, and this is very important. Honoring parents is the best antidote to totalitarianism. One of the first things totalitarian states seek to do is to break the child-parent bond, where the child's allegiance is shifted from their parents to the state. Perfect example, Hitler Youth. Okay? Destroy the family, you make the state the overriding influence on a young person. Disaster. Even in democratic societies, the larger the state becomes, the more it usurps the parental role. And just remember that there are many ways to honor parents. A general rule is they get special treatment. Parents are unique, so they must be treated in a unique way. You don't talk to them in quite the same way you do to anyone else. For example, you might use expletives when speaking to your friend, but you don't do that with a parent. You don't call them by their first name, although many of us have seen that, right? And then when you leave home and you make your own home and you maintain contact with them, having no contact with parents is the opposite of honoring them. And yes, we all recognize that some parents have behaved so cruelly that one finds it morally impossible to honor them. There are such cases, but hopefully they're rare. And remember, if your children see you honor your parents, no matter how difficult it may be sometimes, the chances are far greater that they will honor you. Mm-hmm. So honoring your parents is important to maintaining a stable family. Families are important to maintaining the civilization that we have, the democratic civilization that we have. And so, you know, we need to focus on that and not allow our devotion to be skewed away, not allow our families to be busted up, because we've already seen the results of what can happen when that happens. So we can use this commandment to honor thy father and thy mother as a way, another way, one of the many ways that we have to hold not just our family together, but our societies, our civilization together. So there.
Amen. Okay, we want to. That was very good, Mr. Dennis Prager. And I see that he stayed very closely. You know, his thoughts do line up with the Bible, because as you know, I'm always going to come with the biblical. So, what does it mean to honor your mother, your father and mother? Well, the Bible is clear about how we are to treat our parents. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That is found in Exodus 20 and 12. Now, this commandment and the blessing, that's what that is, a blessing that is attached to it, this is repeated throughout the Old and the New Testament. But what does it mean to honor thy father and mother? Well, the Oxford Dictionary says honor means to regard with great respect or high esteem. It also describes honor as something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure, a privilege. Now, both of these describes what it means to honor your parents. Now, when honoring our parents, it's essential that we show them respect, that we accept their authority, we obey them, and we appreciate them. Why is it so important to honor our parents, young people? Well, Jesus said, you want to have eternal life, you have to keep his commandments. So honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. You will find this in Matthew 19, verses 17 and verses 19. He also said in Matthew 15 and 4, for God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. Proverbs 30 and 17 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now, I don't know about you, but these are some pretty scary consequences for not honoring our parents. But why is this such a serious issue? Well, first of all, God is invested in relationships. See, he desires a relationship with each of us. And to illustrate the structure of the relationship, he created the family. And the way we respect our parents says a lot about how we respect God. You see, honoring our father and our mother teaches us how to honor our Heavenly Father even better. And we need to remember that others are observing the way we honor our parents and God. You see, our siblings and friends will learn from our example. And then someday, when your parents, your children will learn how to treat you by watching how you treat their grandparents. Not only is respect for our parents important in showing respect for God, but it also teaches us to respect authority. Brother Tim Keller says, it's respect for your parents that is the basis of every other kind of respect and other kind of authority. And I believe that. Honoring our father and mother teaches us that God has placed people in authority over us. And honoring them also teaches us how to respect that authority and to be respected by those that have that we have authority over. You see, if we don't learn how to follow, then we can't lead. So most importantly, showing honor to our parents demonstrates our love for Christ. It creates strong bonds in our families, and it can heal broken relationships, and it helps us all to grow as Christians. Honoring our father and our mother can be an incredible opportunity to share the love of God. Now, I have a group of students from Seymour University in the house with me tonight in the chat room, and I had this question, and I really want to answer this for you. And the question is, do we ever stop honoring our parents? Well, our relationship with our parents will change as we get older. How is your relationship with your parents different now than when you were younger, say an infant? What will your relationship be like when you become an adult? You see, as both you and your parents grow older, you'll find that you have the privilege of caring and providing for them in some situations. Paul wrote to Timothy, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. That is 1 Timothy 5:8. So, young people, even as we grow into adulthood, we never stop honoring our parents. And I'm going to answer another question that I was asked. What if my parents don't deserve honor? Well, if you are following the ways of Christ, you will know and understand, and you must know and understand, that parents are meant to love, protect, and instruct and discipline their children. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Unfortunately, the reality is not all, like my brother Rick said, not all parents treat their children well. And sometimes a parent's behavior can be unhealthy and even harmful to their children. But the Bible instructs us to honor our parents, but it does not command us to stay in harm's way. If you or another teen that you know is facing abusive or dangerous situations, we want you to get help right away. We want you to talk to a counselor. We want you to talk to someone that can help you navigate your relationship with your parents. Talk to your pastor, your youth pastor. But now, if you are in immediate physical danger, please call 911. If your parents behave in hurtful ways, do you still have to show them honor? Yes, you do. And but, you know, you might be saying, well, Bishop, how do I do that? They've hurt me. They told me I was never going to be nothing. They put me down. They call me fat. Well, the first thing you have to do, beloved, is forgive them. Now, Jesus didn't say forgiveness would be easy. It's not. Because Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often would my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Then, secondly, you need to pray for your parents. What you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to help you to continue to honor them, okay?
Amen.
Then you need to speak well of them. You know, nobody should ever hear you putting your mother and your father down. I don't care how terrible they are. You should not run your parents into the ground. Third, you need to demonstrate to your parents what love looks like, because if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, and you are honoring the God through obeying the Ten Commandments, then you know that you need to show them the love of Christ. And I hear a lot of people say this, and I agree with you. If your parents are really, really terrible parents, as you grow into adulthood, endeavor to be the kind of parents that your parents weren't. See, you have the power, young people, as you become parents, to break that cycle of headache, and you can feel the cracks with God's love and restoration. You have to understand, your parents did the best they could with what they had and with what they knew. So you can't continue to hold your parents and their emotions hostage or expect them to give you something that they don't have within them.
Amen.
What you have to do is step up, and in this case, you will demonstrate the love of Christ. You will, hallelujah, be the one that says, Mommy or Daddy, I love you. You know, when they put you down, you will still honor them and love them and respect them and obey them. But remember, when you're doing this, you're not just doing this for your mom and dad. You're also doing this unto God. So I'm going to, before we go any further, because like Mr. Prager said and my brother so eloquently stated, so many kids today and parents today, parents don't want to be parents. They want the schools to raise their kids. They want the TikTok to raise their kids and Facebook to raise their kids. So I want to get into a conversation because, you know, if the enemy can take out our future, our children, by having them run amok, by having them to not honor their parents, then he has done a major thing in the body. So we need to, hallelujah, demonstrate honoring our parents until the day God calls us home. So right now, I'm going to unmute the gallery, and I am going to ask that if anyone has further comments, such as Bishop Lester, Mother Mitchell, anybody that has a comment, if you would just speak up, you're live, so if you would just state your name and make your comment, we'd love to hear from you. Anyone? Go ahead, Mother Mitchell.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't have to go for it. I call myself waiting and giving people time to say something before I jump in. But first of all, as I see this commandment, not only is it worded so you know the order that it should be, it says, order thy father and thy mother. And what Bishop and Apostle Cook does every Sunday is they talk to the men, and we're trying to now not to condemn them, but help them to understand how to be good men, how to be good fathers, because they are the head of their houses. And only thing above them is God Almighty. And then the fathers in the house are over the mother, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother. And I see the rest of this commandment as not only a blessing, but a promise that God says. And he always does, he said, I will do this if you do this. And he's saying to us, if you honor your father and mother, I can promise you that your days will be long. You will have longer days, better days, because you ain't out there on alcohol, drugs, and things because your parents didn't treat you right. I also like to tell the young people, like your people that is in the chat room, once you get a certain age where you tell your parents, I'm grown, I want to be on my own. Don't tell a parent that because I told mine. Don't tell me that because you won't get to tell me but one time. If you really think you're grown, then there's some things you need to be doing. One, you need to be out of my home. You need need to have your own home. You need to pay your own utility bill, buy your food, buy your clothes. You need to be self-sufficient because you are now grown. And those are things that grown-ups have to do. So if you're still a child but you wanting to run the streets like you grown, that ain't being grown. And then
Amen.
You want to bring the problem when you get in them back to your parents for them to solve them. No, get you out of jail. Pay for a car you've wrecked. Pay for maybe lives that you have helped to wreck. You know, that's not being grown. That's been a child playing at being grown.
Yes.
So I thank
Amen.
You, Bishop and Apostle Cook, for what y'all tell the men, because it's so important. And what brother, tell me his name again.
Rick Altman.
Brother Rick said is so true because, you know, it's hard. It really is hard. But God has set it in order, and if you just follow his order, you will come out better than you're going to if you don't. So thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you, Mother
I will
Mitchell.
Let somebody else have the mic.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Mitchell. Hallelujah. Bishop Lester. Amen. We're talking about honoring our mother, our father, and our mothers. Come on in the room.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. That was a wonderful word. I am thinking about how that particular mandate and commandment has impacted my life. And my parents, when I grew up, they got divorced when I was 9 years old. And yet, what occurred when I grew up is I learned that forgiving those things that happen when you don't have parents who are together, you allow them to be a part of your experience as a parent. So you got to remember, both of your parents, they're half of who you are. Your mother's half of who you are, your father's half of who you are. And when God says to love yourself, love him, and love others, that really says love him, love yourself, and love others. You can't love yourself and not love your mother and father by honoring them, because that's a part of who you are. And what is required oftentimes with our relationships with our parents is forgiveness, because the more you are around anyone, the more likely it is you're going to offend them, the more likely it is you're going to hurt them, the more likely it is you're going to neglect them. And at some point, you're going to have to forgive. And one of the things that was a problem and my situation is that when I grew up, I was able to forgive my mother and my father for whatever I was dealing with as a result of their divorce when I was nine. And I had both of my parents engaged with my children as their grandparents. And my father was a great grandfather, right? But he was not the best dad because he just wasn't around. And especially after the divorce. Well, my mother was always constant. She was always there, right? She was a great grandmother. And now she's a great grandmother. And my father has passed on, right? But the blessing to me is that when I have honored my mother and honored my father, I know that my relationship with my children, my children's relationship with my parents, was enhanced because I was able to forgive and get past myself, right? Get past my own selfish issues and say, you know what, this isn't about me. And when you allow this to be about God, God is going to bless you. But so many of us, and here's the other thing, there is such a negative propaganda campaign against young men and young women today that we have to really work against that, because a lot of what people are saying about young people today just isn't true. I'm looking at these young people doing their best in a crazy world to raise their children, provide for their children, they're getting married young, even though the old people are telling them, don't get married young, get married after you live through your 20s. That's crazy nonsense. And you know what? I'll tell you, young people are making decisions for themselves. They're not doing what we did. We said there was a time you're supposed to go to school, time you're supposed to go to college, time you're supposed to. They looked at all that and they said, no, I'm not getting in all that debt. I'm not going to go ahead and have 50 relationships and get married when I'm 30 or 40 or 50. They said, I'm going to raise my family. I'm going to do what I didn't see you do. And
right.
My kids, my family first, and I'm going to love one woman and not 10 and then one, you know,
there you
try
go.
To love one. And so,
hey man,
stop lying on these young people. I'm watching them go in the military and handle business like nobody, and do all kinds of great things with the. Well, you know what? I just have to say that when you honor your mother and father, forgiveness is the key. And honestly, sometimes we gotta allow ourselves to be forgiven by God for not honoring our mother and father when we were young.
Yes.
And making the job harder than it had to be, you know? And I can tell you, I have 6 children of my own. I don't have any children who were as bad as I was. So I really, you know, I have to take my hat off to my parents.
Right.
But,
right.
And that's the thing. And I believe God gives us children to show us what he's going through with us as adults.
Amen.
I'll tell you what,
amen.
You know, if you think about how much God has to put up with us and us wavering and not just staying focused on him and being truly thankful, our children have no idea when they're children what it takes to provide a life for them and make a way for them. And how much sacrifice is going on so that they can have a life. And it's still the best. The more you do, the more ungrateful they are. But they just don't know. So you can't hold them accountable for that. They're children. They don't know. But normally what happens is they become 25 and 30 and they come and they apologize. They said, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I knew you didn't. I knew you would find out. And God is the same way with us. He's like, I know you don't realize everything I had to do to get this blessing to you, to get the ram in the bush to where it needed to be for you, but I got it, man. So that's all I had
Amen.
To say. I really.
Oh, that's
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Bishop. Amen.
Great talk.
You know, and to my young people, I want to say this. You know, I know a lot of you probably, you know, you think your parents owe you something. You know, they might be paying your college tuition or for you that are still in high school. You know, you expect a car upon graduation, et cetera, et cetera. Understand something. Your parents, like I said, are here to love you, you know, provide for you. But they don't, you know, a car is a luxury. So you need to understand that once you get a certain age, your parents don't owe you anything. And parents need to understand that their children, just because you brought them into the world, you can't do the oy vey, I brought you, I carried you, all, you know, after a certain age, that doesn't fly either.
Amen.
God's
children don't owe their parents either.
The parents
Amen.
Don't, the children don't owe their parents, and parents don't owe their children. But we are still
Amen.
To honor them. And honoring them means loving them, respecting them, valuing their opinion. You know, it's not about you wanting to be grown and needing to be, no, right now, if you're under your mom and dad's roof, or they're providing for you right now, guess what? Let me give you some practical ways of honoring your mother and your father. A simple I love you can go a long way, okay? How many times do you pick up your bed? You done got up out of your nice bed in your nice bedroom with your gadgets and your gadgets and your computers, and you done ran downstairs, you done grabbed your bagel, and you're out going out the door, and your mama trying to wave bye. And say I love you, Well, you know what? Just saying, hey, I love you too, Mom. That can go a long way. And when they do get you those nice tennis shoes, when they do get you those nice iPhones, when they do get you those nice luxuries that many children might not have the benefit of having, say thank you. A little gratitude goes a long, long way.
Yeah,
with parents.
Amen.
But a little
Amen.
Gratitude goes a long, long way with children, too. Because parents, your children, after they reach a certain age, they have their own families. They might not mind coming over and doing, helping you do things that, you know, they might not mind helping you out, but don't get it twisted. They now have their own families. They have left your home. They now have their own families. They, doing what you need for them to do is not their taking care of your household is no longer their responsibility. Now, any good son or daughter, of course they're going to come over and try to help their parents any way they can, you know. But remember, that doesn't, if your son can't come over and mow your lawn or clean out your basement, that does not mean he's not honoring you. That means he has a family with a wife and kids that he's trying to take care of. So his household doesn't go
around.
And he said, you know, he works every day. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. we have to not get it. You know, we have to understand what the word honor really means, because honor does not mean entitled. Okay. Honor does not mean entitled.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents need to understand that, and a lot of children need to understand that. We have Apostle Zeta Flowers in the house, and I know she knows something about honoring her mother and father. Hallelujah, or honoring thy mother and thy father. So, Apostle Zeta, would you like to wait? You come on in with some more things of nugget on honoring thy mother and father?
Yes, I can speak for a few minutes. I did honor my parents, both of my parents, and I want to say too that I have my youngest daughter in the room, and I mean it was just right on time. Some of the things that have been spoken for her to hear and for her to get a better understanding of what the scriptures is telling us here. And I did honor mine, and I thank God that I did. I have to admit that there were times that I didn't want to, and that's growing up. But when I became an adult, I knew much better. And helped take care of my mom. My mom lived with me later, and it was a blessing. And I did a lot of things with her. We were very close. She was a foodie. She loved to eat out. So I honored her a lot of times in that way, because that's what she wanted in her latter years, to just, you know, be happy and go out and do things. And so we did. And I really honored her. And then when she did leave us and the Lord took her, then I didn't have any guilt feelings or anything like that. I knew that I had done my part, and my mother was constantly saying that. So I thank God for that, but I also thank God for my younger daughter hearing what she heard on tonight so that she could have a better understanding. God bless all of you that have shared. I enjoyed what I was able to get in on tonight.
Oh, thank you, Apostle Zeta. You know, we do need to honor our parents, and we do need to, you know, when you're well balanced, hallelujah. You know, I don't mind. I'm over 60 years old, you know, and when I was growing up, we had respect for all of our elders, not just our mom
Amen.
And our mother and our father, but we had respect
right.
for all elders. We didn't call anybody that was our parents' age, oh, we never called them by their first name. No ma'am,
Amen.
No sir, not ever, okay? We didn't walk around. You know, I didn't walk around my house going, yeah, Shirley, what do you want? That sounds crazy for me saying that right now.
Okay. Right.
Okay. No, we did not do that. You know, today, parents, we need to be, as parents and as leaders and as keeping God's order, we need to be real with these kids. You know, sometimes you want to live vicariously through your children, or you want your kids to wear status, you know, their status, your status on their back, or your, you know, you cannot do that. Because what you're teaching your kids is, one, materialism, and then, two, you know, you work awfully hard to give them the things that you give them. So, and then you wonder why, but because you never talk to them about that, you wonder why they have no respect or any appreciation for what it takes to give them that. We need to be honest. And young people, you need to be honest with your parents. The truth is always best. We need more honesty. Parents need to stop trying to be their kids. And a lot of you kids need to stop trying to act like your parents. We need to get in our lane. If we are parents, we need to act like parents. I knew my mother loved me, but I was not my friend, my mother's friend, until I was grown, had a loan. I didn't need Tyler Perry to tell her that, okay? You know, she was not my friend. She's my parent. She was my mother. And she still is my mother. And to this day, I honor her by listening to her. You know, I love to do things with her. I love to participate in things with her. I'm not the biggest fan of Westerns, but my mom loves them. So I find myself watching them so we can have some things in common to talk about, you know. But, you know, you can honor your parents, young people, in so many ways, you know, just by talking to them. You know, and I know a lot of you, when your parents start to tell you a story from their childhood, I know, I was a young person once, your eyes tend to want to roll up in the top of your head, and you tend to want to look even deeper into your phone. But you know what? Sometimes just stopping and listening to them, you know, will make all the difference to them. You honor them by listening to what they have to say. And also, you might just learn something. And then tell them what's going on with you, you know. Let them know what you're thinking about, dreaming about. Tell them about your struggles. Communicate with them. Make them a part of your life. You know, parents and children should not just be, a bunch of people with the same last name dwelling under the same roof. That's not how we keep a healthy family. That's not how we keep a healthy civilization. You know, I'm just going to tell you now, I would never been, I couldn't have made a bomb, been up in my room making a bomb, because my mama told me that was her house. I didn't have a room. That room was on loan, and she was going to come up in there, inspect, check, look over, look under, see anything she felt like she needed to do. And if I protested too much, she would probably take the whole door off the hinges and make me look at my brother for a month or two until I learned how to appreciate my room. But I would have to obey that and honor that, because my mom is my parent. So, you know, it's different. Young people today, they don't seem to have a lot of respect, let alone honor. But there's a lot of young people, like Bishop Lester said, that do. You are the people that we are wanting to talk to right now, because you are going to lead the charge in showing your peers what it looks like to honor thy mother and thy father. Because when they see the reward, and I love what Bishop Carver always says, when people see the, when they see the benefit, you know, they see you honoring your mother and your father, and they see you having this great relationship, and they see you going to worship together or going to ball games together or just going out to eat together and fellowshipping together, it will cause them to rethink their relationship with their parents. Or just like Brother Rick said earlier, everybody does not come from a home, a two-parent home, or a healthy home.
Right.
So your
That's
home
right.
might be the only your home might be the only example of what a healthy home looks like. So you see, honoring thy mother and thy father has such great impact, has such great impact on everything else. And so it's so very important. So I praise God for this discussion. So now we're going to bring Brother Rick back in, and we're going to look at the next commandment, which is thou shalt not kill. Amen. So Brother Rick, we're going back to the next commandment. I want to thank everybody for your comments, and you'll have an opportunity to comment again. Brother Rick.
Let me just say before we move on that I have a confession to make, and that is that I didn't honor either of my parents when I was growing up. I finally came, and you mentioned it earlier, to forgive my mother for the way we were treated. But just so that you know, my brother and I, we kid each other, and I tell him, you know, since neither of us grew up as alcoholic, wife-beating, child abusers, I would say that makes us a success, and then we both laugh about it. But that was our childhood. And I did come finally to forgive my mother. And I haven't reached that point with my father yet. And I'm still struggling with it. And hopefully I can find the kind of character and understanding that'll help me to grow, that I can come to that. But for those that were listening and have had a similar experience to what my brother and I experienced, you know, your point just hit it, I think, on the head, Shirlene, when you said, you know, forgiveness is important. And eventually I got to the point where I did forgive my mother, and I did aid in taking care of her up until she passed away. But, you know, for those that were listening and said I could never do that, I think, you know, your suggestion about the forgiveness was important. And if I can ever find that in myself, you'll be the first to know if I can get to that point. But I struggle with it, and I look at it, and I try to get there. Haven't made it yet, but like I said, if I get to that point, you'll be the first one to know.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the next one, and it won't take a long time on this, this commandment is do not murder. Once again, getting back to the society, you know, the civilization that we live in, our family, our neighborhood, our city or town, the state we live in, our country, our civilization. Dennis says it well. He says, you can kill, but you cannot murder. And I like this. He goes, you would think that all of the Ten Commandments that one needs the least explaining is thou shalt not murder, because it seems so clear. It's the one that the King James Bible, most widely used in English translation, translates into thou shalt not kill. Yet the Hebrew translation, which Dennis does, is, if you go back to King James 400 years ago, 1610 thereabouts, when the King James Version was written, kill in English was synonymous with murder. So Dennis mm-hmm. makes a point of saying that in Hebrew it says do not murder. So, and both the Hebrew and English have words for taking life. One is kill, the other is murder. But the difference between the two is enormous. Kill means taking a life, whether of a human or an animal, taking a life deliberately or by accident, taking a human life legally or illegally, morally or immorally. In other words, on the other hand, murder can only mean one thing, the illegal, immoral taking of a human life. And that's why we don't say I killed a mosquito, not I murdered a mosquito. And that's why we would say we had a worker who was accidentally killed, not a worker who was accidentally murdered. And then he explains, you know, why the King James Version uses kill rather than murder. But the important point that he begins to make. He says you don't have to know how the English language has evolved over 400 years to understand the Ten Commandments could not have prohibited all killing. The very same part of the Bible that contains the Ten Commandments, the five books of Moses, commands the death penalty for murder, allows killing in war, and allows eating meat. A correct understanding of the commandment against murder is crucial because while virtually every modern translation correctly translates the commandment, do not murder, many people cite the King James translation to justify two positions that don't have a biblical basis, the opposition to capital punishment and pacifism. So regarding capital punishment in the Bible, the only law that appears in each of the five books of Moses is that murderers should be put to death. Opponents of the death penalty are free to hold the view that all murderers should be allowed to live, but they're not free to cite the Bible to support their view. So keep that in mind if somebody brings that up. They always cite do not kill, but it should be abundantly clear now what the commandment says, especially now that we've had Dennis translate it from the Hebrew. Thou shalt not murder. With regards to pacifism, the belief that it's always wrong to kill a human being, again, anyone is free to hold this position, as immoral as it may be. And one can use the word to forbidding the killing of someone who's in the process of murdering innocent men, women, and children in, let's say, a movie theater. And how can you prohibit that? You know, but let's be. But it's dishonest to cite the commandment against the murder to justify pacifism. There is moral killing, unfortunately, most obviously when it's done in self-defense against an aggressor, and there is immoral killing, and the word for that is murder. And the moral killing, I mean, if you look at the wars, especially when people are fighting for their freedom, and unfortunately, I mean, you know, that is in human history, you know, sometimes it has to come to that for people to gain freedom, to overthrow wrongdoers. And some of them, within the last 100 years, terrible wrongdoers. Now, the Ten Commandments are portrayed on two tablets. Five commandments on the second tablet all concern our treatment of fellow human beings. And the first one, do not murder. Why? Because murder is the worst act a person can commit. The four other commandments prohibiting stealing, adultery, lying, coveting are all serious. But murder leads the list because deliberate life-taking of an innocent person is the most terrible thing to do.
Innocent thing to do.
So the next time you hear someone cite do not kill when quoting the commandment, gently but firmly explain to them that it actually says do not murder.
Amen. Amen.
So at this point, with that commandment, for everyone that is, you know, thinks about the Ten Commandments or tolerates the Ten Commandments or whatever, now we're really digging into the behavior that defines in very distinct and dramatic and sometimes terrible terms, you know, what can happen if you don't follow these rules. And so,
amen.
So, you know, once again, I just think the world of Dennis Prager, as I know you do, because, I mean, the common sense that he portrays in this, to me, is just like, it's just absolutely perfect. So,
amen.
Again,
add
that to your code.
Amen. And he did stick to the Bible. And let me explain something to you, thanks God. There's other meanings of to kill. You know, in order to kill a man, it can happen in several ways. First, you can kill somebody by your own hand. You know, the word of God says your hands are full of blood. And you know that's a sin because we're told to love, not only to love one, we're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love one another. So the word of God says no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. But also it is against nature, for every beast loveth its life. And so it is said, he that striketh a man with a will to kill him shall be put to death. So as he said, if you murder somebody, you're supposed to be put to death. Okay, that's been, are we grateful for Jesus? The second way you can kill somebody, and there's a lot of this going around today, is
by your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The power of life and death are in the
tongue. Yeah.
And, you know, you can do this by talking about people, gossiping about people. You can do this by giving back, by giving counsel, counsel in a way that you will cause provocation, or, you know, you're accusing, or you're being a distraction, because the Word of God says the sons of men whose teeth are weapons and arrows, and their tongues are a sharp sword. So, yes, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So a lot of people are murdering people's spirits. They might not be physically killing them, but they are murdering their spirits because they're gossiping about them. They're spreading false witness about them. They're provoking other people to be angry and to dislike them. And we see a lot of that. There is, you know, in this world today, with all this social media and everything, people just let stuff fly about other people. There's no filter. They can say whatever they want, call people whatever they want, you know, and they don't care if it hurts, or, you know, they don't care that they're stirring other people up. The third way we can kill people is by aiding those who run toward evil. You know, we shouldn't be aiding and abetting people that, you know, spiritually, that always have it out for other people, okay? We just shouldn't do that, because then we are just as guilty of, you know, we're committing murder of the spirit, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, these things are even worse, because then, you know, when you kill somebody's spirit, when you push down, you know, when you tear somebody down, that's worse. I think that's worse than just killing somebody right out. But you also kill people by drawing them away from a life of grace. You kill people by, you know, inducing them to commit other sins. And you also, you need, if you don't want to kill people, you don't want to murder, you need to stay away from that spirit of anger. Because if you ever notice that wherever somebody is murdering somebody, there's anger, there's rebellion, there's resentment, there's some underlying demonic spirits going on. People get stirred up, and they get to talking, and they want to get other people stirred up. And then when they create the machine and they don't like the machine they created, they're in a pickle. But again, it is those of us that live by this biblical code and this moral code that keep the world from just, you know, from just going completely crazy. So now I'm going to go back through the assembly, and if anybody has comments now, you know, maybe you sat and you thought about it and you had some comments, or you thought about something else about the first commandment that we covered, or this one, you're more than welcome. Bishop Lester, additional comment.
Apostle Kurt, I just had this conversation today with my brother, with my son-in-law, while we were doing construction. And this is the kind of argument that a new believer will make when they're reading through the Bible for the first time. And they'll say, well, isn't the commandment thou shalt not kill? Then how can you just, and they'll enter into this thing that Brother Whitman spoke about the distinction between killing and murder. Right? Now,
right.
The thing we have to be careful about is there is a commandment that trumps this idea of thou shalt not kill, which is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind.
Yeah.
And so if God tells you that I need you to wipe out a group of people and the king and the women and their children and their cattle and all the beasts in their land, right? God has the sovereign authority to request that and demand that. And when you read in the Bible, you're going to see where that happens, right? Now, what a lot of people want to do is they want to judge God out of ignorance and lean into their own understanding. And that's when we have to instruct people in the scripture, because then when they read about Samson, how in his last act he killed more than he killed in his life, right? But the killing he did was for the glory of God. It was required at that time. And so you have to understand that this is a part of life. When you read in Ezekiel, I believe it is. No, it's Ecclesiastes. There's a time and a place for all things, right? Time to live, time to die, right? You have to, the Bible is so real. It's so real that it goes past your idea of morality and comes down to your, to the reality of submission to a sovereign God that we love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we submit to everything. And then we allow him to guide us. Now, when we understand that, that we don't live in the Old Testament anymore, that's why we are no longer under the curse of the law. And before the law existed, there was no law. And God says, how can those people be held accountable to the standard of the law? That was just sinners being sinners. And when you place the sinners under the law, you had the same problem. They had to atone for their sin, and that was only available to the people, et cetera, through the high priest and the children of Israel once a year, right? Now, Jesus Christ went and became our great high priest, and now we individually, with the Holy Spirit within us, can go before the throne of God daily and receive grace and mercy, and we can communicate with the Father directly, right? Things have changed. People have to know things are changed. People have to understand there's a greater level of accountability. And so the power you have allows you to now be led by the Holy Spirit and know that vengeance is the Lord. It is not for you to go and say that, God told me to kill this person. I need to kill this person. No. If God can't protect you, you can't be protected. And that's where your level of trust is, it's manifested in you loving God by trusting God and saying, you know, God, I'm going to get you honor even in my death. If you allow me, if this is my hour, then let me perish while glorifying you, right? Not taking things into my own hands and trying to do it both ways and trying to lean to my own understanding. And yet saying, my expectation, God, is that you're going to deliver me. But even if you don't, you're going to get glory because I'm not going to act out of my nature as your child, right? And then God can intervene. Because oftentimes what God did in the Old Testament, and this is the lesson, when he brought them to the battle, the way he showed them that the battle was his and not theirs was, you come to the battle, you do exactly what I said, but then you watch what I do. And his people were witnesses to his great power. And he used all kinds of different ways to thwart the enemy and destroy the enemies of the children of Israel in his presence and in their presence. And they got to see the power in the mighty arm of God, right? The same way we get to see the arm of God. But we can't start dumbing down the word so that it doesn't make sense, because that's what unbelievers try to do every day. And that's what a new believer will do if they are not familiar with the word of God. So once again, I love the distinction between killing and murder. That's very important. You know what, language would make that distinction, because you can't read the Old Testament and not reconcile those two things.
That's right. Amen. All right. Apostle Zeta, do you have any further comments? Okay. We'll come back. Mother Mitchell?
Do you have any more additional comments?
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Apostle Zeta. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold the phone. Okay, Apostle Zeta, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, this was really good, and I I too was listening, paying attention to the distinction between, you know, murder and killing and so forth. I remember quite some time ago that, and I'm being really transparent, and it's okay, because we have to be careful with how we feel on the inside, even if we don't speak it outward. It still has the same meaning. But when I went through domestic violence with the person that I was married to, a man of the cloth, there were some things that, well, I became very, very angry. And I'm talking about even after, you know, our relationship, our divorce was over and everything, I was still holding some things in my heart. The spirit of anger was one of them. I really never thought about it because I justified it instead, which was not really just, I was not really justified. That was just my own thinking because of the things that he did and the abuse and all of that stuff. You know, I was serving the Lord and doing what I had been called to do and so forth, but I still had the anger down on the inside. And so there were times that I wasn't wanting to kill him or anything like that, but in my own heart, it didn't matter, you know, if he got killed. So,
amen.
You
amen.
Know, sorry, that, sorry. I'm telling the real truth about my own feelings at that time. And one time I was, many times I was on my knees in prayer and still am, but I was leading a prayer meeting, and I prayed and asked the Lord to, if there was anything inside of me that he was displeased with, to surface it so that I could fix it. Well, I just wanted to be sure, you know, that I was forgiven.
What?
I wasn't thinking anything about my thoughts and feelings toward him. And so the Lord surfaced it. It was just almost like he was right in front of me. And that's when I repented. And I want you all to know that is not where I am today. I'm far
amen.
From that
glory.
Kind of thinking.
Glory.
And just like,
glory to God.
I think Bishop Carver brought out, and I thank you, Apostle Shirlene, that vengeance is the Lord's.
Yes.
He says, vengeance is mine. I shall repay.
Yes, he
and
does.
So it's not for us to be thinking up anything about anybody that has wronged us or mistreated us or abused us, because we want to have the heart of God and not, you know, have all these things inside of us and end up with that spirit that
yes.
we're not of, you know. So this has been really good, and that's what I wanted to share concerning that particular commandment.
Glory.
Okay.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to just thank everybody for being transparent and for just being real. You know, that's how these young people really learn, is by us being real and, you know, letting them know we can tell them some things because we've been through it. God has brought us through it. He's still bringing us through some things. None of us have arrived. We all have issues
Amen.
That we're struggling with, but we are trying to just, on tonight's program, we are just trying to encourage you. You are students, you are educated, you're educated, you're getting educated, and we want you to be educated of the things of God. And common sense and wisdom are the same thing. So when you have, you know, they go hand in hand. And as we say, doing these things will help you be a better person, your family be a better unit, your community to be better, you know, because the Word of God says that we are the might be the only Bible that anybody ever sees. So we need to be honoring God by keeping his commandments. We need to be honoring God and our parents, amen, and one another, you know.
Amen.
You see how it all flows together into one big community. Mother Mitchell, do you have any additional comments?
Yes, Apostle. I just want to say, as a young woman, and I would look at the Ten Commandments, and I'd get to this one about thou shalt not kill, you know, and capital punishment was always a hard thing when you're young and you don't really understand a lot maybe about the world or how it operates and politics and all that political stuff. And I'm thinking, this is how I'm thinking about it. If a life is what is wrong, then it doesn't matter where you take the life. War, justice system, on the street, it does not matter if the taking the breath out of a living body that you did not create, mm-hmm. that God put breath in him, is a sin. Then how can you justify it in any realm of the things where life is taken?
Can't.
And I just didn't understand how to, you know, how to come to terms with that. Because taking the life is the sin, not how you did it, whether it was with a gun or a knife or a bazooka or in the old westerns, you know, how they rolled the old cannons on the
wooden leg, okay.
Got into the crowd. You know, you just don't know how to deal with all of that. But as I've become older and I've learned it, and what Brother Ullman has said between murder and what it is to murder and to kill, it makes more sense. So
yes.
I think for tonight's lesson, for bring and for even at this late date, making that clearer to me, even though I thought I had a clearer vision of it, I thank God that he's made it even clearer for me. When I read that, it made it clearer to me.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Well, we are just so blessed that, you know, we are blessed to have talked about honoring thy mother and thy father. Amen. And we have Mother Mattie Scott in the house, and she would like to have a word. Go ahead, Mother Scott.
Hi, Bishop Cook and High Spirit Alive family. I missed
Hello.
It this evening, but I just remembered to tune in. But the title, Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother, I will speak on that. I'm sorry I missed it because I had forgot. But the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother, and that mm-hmm. the Lord is pleased. Sometimes, even if we, you know, even if we don't have a good parents, we still have to honor thy father and thy mother. That we have to do. We have to respect our parents. Because of our parents, that's one reason why we're here beside Father God. So we have to honor our parents, and children have to be obedient to their parents. They have to do that. And even as you
yes.
get older and you become grown, you never get as old as your father and your mother. And still, you have to. Well, you should obey them still. So I love to see people that honor their parents, and I love to see good parents that are good to their children, but I also like to see good children, sons and daughters, good to their parents. And when we honor our father and mother, the Lord is pleased because he knows that we will honor him. So
yes.
I tell you, that's wonderful. That is. That's really wonderful. And the Bible lets you know that your days will be long on the earth. Honor thy father and thy mother,
yes.
and your days will be long on the
yes,
earth. And
ma'am.
That is so true.
Because
now, young people, they don't respect their parents. They don't respect their parents. They really don't. And some parents don't respect their children. It's like children is getting killed, and these children is killing their parents. I'm like, what's going on. But the Bible is fulfilling, and the Bible lets you know that mother be against daughter and father be against son. It's in the Bible. Everything that is in the Bible is fulfilling, and we can see it now because there are signs and wonders. Signs and wonders.
Amen.
The Bible is very fulfilling. It's very fulfilling. And but I love you all, and I love you, Bishop Cook, and I just love you all, Apostle Zeta, Mother Mitchell, all of you. I love you all.
Thank
God bless
you
all.
Thank
you.
We love you,
Mother Givens, in prayer.
Yes, we do.
I love you.
And we're keeping Mother Givens in prayer. Yes, ma'am. We want to thank
all
of you.
That's the Scott family.
Yes,
I love the Scott family as well.
Amen. We'll keep them all lifted up. Amen. We want to thank everyone, especially Brother Rick Altman. If there be nothing else, we want to thank him again for coming and just coming in his own way and just enlightening us. I just love you, my dear brother. You did another phenomenal job. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, and we pray that you will just continue to come and bless us with your common sense files, and we're going to go through the rest of these commandments. But we have had a glorious time tonight. I want to thank you also, the Spirit Alive family, Bishop Lester Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers. You're always, you know, I just thank you for your support and how you come out and support and help minister. This is true discipleship. I want to thank the Larsons, Lee and Terry Larson from California, and I want to thank Rick's beautiful wife, Sue, for sharing her husband with us on tonight. And we want to thank all of you that were listening at SEMO and all of you that were listening via your computers and Skype. We're just so glad that you tuned in on this Friday night. And we pray that you heard something that has truly blessed you, enlightened you, caused you to think, because that's the real purpose here. We're not coming to condemn. We're not coming to abuse. But we are coming to teach and to disciple and to help you to become all that you need to be in the Lord. So on behalf of myself, Brother Rick Altman, and the Spirit Alive family, Mother Mattie, we want to say thank you for listening. Continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed. Good night, and God bless you, each and every one. Good night, family. You all were phenomenal. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, Mother. Love you.
We love you, Lee and Terry. We love you. Thank
love
you,
you all. Thank you.
Well, I love you.
Love you all.
Love you, Mother.
Love you, Bishop.
Love
you,
you
too, Bishop. Love you all.
Love you. Thank
God bless you.
God bless you.
God
bless you too.
Oh, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night. God bless.